2 Timothy chapter number 4 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We're going to get out of 2 Timothy one of these days. Lord, you keeps giving me one more message. Here, one more message. So, we're going to do that until we are done with what the Lord would have us to bring here. 2 Timothy 4. And let's begin reading verse number 6. It said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul says here that the time of his departure was at hand. Now he uses a word that takes its meaning from the idea of a ship sitting in a harbor where the time has come to cast off and set sail. And he uses the same word in Philippians 1:23 where he says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart," to cast off and go. He said, "having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Now, Paul says that death for the believer, and we could include leaving this world by way of the rapture also, is like a departure. And I think we need to be ready for that departure, amen, as Bible believers. We're cutting loose from this life one of these days, and we're going to set sail for the next. And I have a desire for that, and I hope that you do too. And I hope that you know from what we see happening in this world that we could be very close. I don't know how close. You know, I'm not one that sets dates or anything like that. I still believe that we might see some very tough times before the Lord sees fit to take us out of here. But I hope I'm wrong on that. Hope the Lord just sees fit to just go ahead and get us out of here. But Paul says, after he talks about the departure, he said, "I have fought a good fight." And the language that Paul uses means to contend for a prize or to struggle. And Paul is saying that life, it has been a real struggle at times. Now, Paul, and when you take a look at his life, he faced some very, very strong struggles. And I know, you know, we all have a varying degree of struggles that we have to go through or have been through, or maybe that's down the road that we're going to still yet to go through. But we know that life is a struggle, don't we? We know that it's can be a challenging at times. I think of each of us understands that to be true. But Paul reminds us that although life can be a struggle at times, that it's worth the struggle. Now, I hope that you think that life is worth the struggle, because it will be worth it when we get home to be with the Lord. Now, I think that Paul gives us some very powerful lessons here and some powerful reasons why he was able to face his departure from this life with such confidence. He was ready. And the question is, are you ready? Whether you leave this world by death or by rapture, and we don't know. This could be our time. Are you ready? Man, that's the question. First thing I want us to see here is that Paul was ready to depart because he knew where he was headed. You know, you can't really be ready unless you know where you're going. And he knew where he was going. Paul's departure from earth meant his arrival in heaven. And Paul knew without a shadow of doubt that he was headed into eternity, and he was at eternity was going to be with Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Hold your place here. We'll be back to 2 Timothy. But turn with me, please. I'm not going to have you turn to a lot of places tonight, but I do want you to turn to two places with me. And one of these is 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 6 through 8 here. 2 Corinthians 5. And we see here in verse number 6. 2 Corinthians 5:6, it said, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether at present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. And that's the case, isn't it? The Bible tells us that for the believer to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And as with most things in life, you know, you can't have it both. You can't be here and there. You've got to cast off this life to be there. To be present with the Lord necessitates the giving up of this life. And I'm glad that we can know where we're headed. The Bible says that we can know for sure where we're headed in eternity. I love 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm glad we have a know-so salvation. I'm glad the Bible teaches the know-so salvation. There's a lot of folks who don't know. You ask them, do you know where you're headed if you die? Well, I hope I'm going to heaven. I think I'm going there. Well, you know, I know tonight. I know not. It's not a boastful thing on my part. It's a boastful thing on the Lord's part of what He's told me in His Word. And we've, we that know the Lord, we can be confident in where our arrival is going to be after we make the departure. Amen. We're all going to make a departure one day, but we can be confident in where we're going to arrive at. Death does not have to be a leap into darkness or into the great unknown. And the Bible tells us that by placing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be saved and know where we're headed. So if we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when the time comes for our departure, we can face it. He mentioned in that verse we just read, confidence twice. We can have confidence. There's a lot of people that are not confident about that area of their life. But I have confidence tonight, and my confidence is based upon what Jesus has done for me. We can have confidence knowing that we have been assured of a place in heaven. When Jesus told His disciples, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. And He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And he wanted them to have a confidence that even though he was not going to be around very much longer, he knew he was about to cast off this life and go back to be with his Heavenly Father, but they could have the confidence of knowing when they left this life that they would be at home with him. Now, George Sweeting wrote an article in the January-February 2003 issue of Moody Magazine entitled, Can I Die Well? Can I die well? And in it, he described death for him as being, number one, like a prisoner awaiting his release. Now, y'all know that I worked in the prison ministry for some time, a good 9.5 years up in Middle Tennessee, and had opportunity to see some fellows who had that expectation of getting out, the awaiting for that final day when that door would clang behind them, you know, on the way out of that facility. He said also, it's like a schoolboy when the end of term is near. I remember growing up in Brunswick, Georgia, and when we were growing up, school always got out at 3:15. Are you with me? I don't know why, but 3:15 was the bell that you were anticipating. And there was no bell that was anticipated as much as the one on the last school day of the year. You were waiting for that bell to ring that one last time. Now, they didn't give us half days off back then. You know, they don't even go the full day the last few days around here. But we had to go be there to the bitter end of 3:15 on that final day of class. But that anticipation, you know, you're looking for. It's just like a patient in the hospital anxiously awaiting a discharge. Well, I've been there. and done that. Many of you have too. You know, when you're ready to go home, get some good food, and you're ready to go home, be with the family, sleep in your own bed, you can't get any rest up in the hospital, guarantee you. And but the thing that's preventing you is that doctor signing off and giving you the release. And you're waiting on that, and you're anticipating it. Well, you know, death can be like that. He said, I long to be gone. He said, extricating myself from the flesh, I have too long inhabited, seeing the great doors of eternity swing open. Such is the prospect of death for one who has believed on Christ. You know, we imagine what it's going to be like when we first see Christ, don't we? You ever think about what it's going to be like when you get to the other side? You know? We don't know. We know Jesus is there. We know our saved loved ones are there on the other side. I have both mom and dad there. Got some other loved ones that are there. And look forward to seeing them all. But most of all, seeing Jesus, you know, the one who died for me. Paul was ready to depart because he knew where he was headed. Number two, Paul was ready to depart because he had lived a meaningful life. He had lived a meaningful life. Back in our text, there in verse 6, 2 Timothy 4:6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." As Paul looked at the nearness and certainty of his death, now he had the ability to know that he was about to die. The Lord had showed him that. Not everybody gets that benefit of knowing that they're fixing to cross over. Some people in this life do. And I've been with some who did know that they were soon going to be departing. And as Paul looked at the nearness and certainty of his death, he realized that his death would not be in vain, but really would serve a better purpose. And he saw his death as an offering that would be poured out to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, just like his life had been. I mean, he poured his life out before the Lord. Too many people reach the end of their life and they have nothing of eternal value to show for their time on this earth. Sadly, a lot of folks are just busy about serving themselves, serve no one but themselves. They've taken time for self, but not for God and for others. They have earthly treasure that they were going to leave behind. You know, they could pull it behind you in a hearse, and they could even put it down in that hole with you, but you ain't going to have it. Not going to have it. Whatever you have worked for in this world, if you've not been working for treasure in heaven, you're going to leave it all behind one day. And some have focus so much on this earth that you're going to leave it all behind and have very little to nothing in heavenly treasure awaiting them on the other side. A person can only die a meaningful death when they have lived a meaningful life. And we can look at Paul's life as it's given to us in Scripture, when we've been given a glimpse of his life, and boy, what a life it was given for the Lord. Paul was ready to die because he knew his death had meaning for him. And that's because from the time that he met the Lord on the Damascus Road, the Lord Jesus Christ was the center of his life. You think about the dramatic change that took place in his life. You know, we all had a dramatic change, didn't we? We did. Some are more dramatic than others. Not everybody gets struck blind on the road, you know, by the Lord. It's, you know, usually not. But he did. And he got to hear the voice from heaven. I heard the Holy Spirit in my heart. That's what I heard. But Paul was ready to depart because he knew where he was headed, and he because he had lived a meaningful life. Jesus was the center of his life. The third thing I want you to see here is that Paul was ready to depart because he knew he had fought a good fight. There in verse 7, he says, "I have fought a good fight." I fought a good fight. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. First Corinthians 9 And we see verses 24 through 27 here. Paul writes here, 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, that lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." What good fight was Paul talking about that he had fought in? I fought a good fight. The good fight of faith. The good fight of faith. After his coming to know the Lord on the Damascus Road, Paul had dedicated his life to spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfilling the Great Commission, fulfilling really exactly what the Lord had called him for. The Lord called him for a specific purpose. Paul had fought hard against the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel before his conversion. We know that. I mean, he was totally anti-Christ. He wasn't the Antichrist, but he was anti-Christ, anti-anybody who was pro-Christ, and he thought he was doing the Lord a favor, talking about the Lord God. Little did he know that he was fighting against the Lord God until he met him there on the Damascus Road. But listen, I believe the Scriptures reveal that he fought even harder for the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel after his conversion. To fight a good fight, though, you know, one's got to be in the fight. And I wonder tonight, are you in the fight for the Lord? The Lord has given each of us that we're to do. You have a will for God for your life. That is running your course. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And that's the next thing here. Paul was ready to depart because he knew he had successfully finished his course. Now, the Bible often uses the imagery of a race to describe the believer's life, but this race is not just a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon, you know. It's a long run. I remember seeing a story, news story, of a woman who ran the Boston Marathon, and apparently she had won it for the women's side, and it was later found out that she had cheated. Instead of running the course, she gotten on the bus, taking a shortcut, she sneaked off, then made her way back to the course and went across the finish line, and you know, everybody was celebrating her victory, but then it was found out and she was disqualified because she didn't run the race. There's no shortcutting allowed if you're going to finish your course. She didn't finish the course. And most of us are familiar with how the Apostle Paul started his race and how he became a believer. Of course, that story is told in Acts chapter 9, how Paul, who used to be named Saul, was on his way to Damascus Road to persecute some believers. When he was struck down by a blinding light, then he heard the voice of Jesus, and Paul became a believer on that day. Now, for me, it was on February 17th, 1971, when I came to know the Lord. I was at almost the age of 15 years old when I began my race. Now, I wasn't struck blind on the road, but my heart was gripped. Sterling Baptist Church in Brunswick, Georgia. I sat on the very back pew on the back right side. And my pastor was preaching on hell that night. It was a Wednesday night. Kind of an odd time to preach on hell, but he did, and it gripped my heart because I knew that the profession of faith that I had made earlier was no one had guided me through the plan of salvation, and it was a false profession. They just baptized me and put me on the membership list, and you know, I was a member at that point, but I was not in the Lord. my experience was different than Paul's. And we don't have to have the same experience, do we? Aren't you glad? In racing, though, a good start is essential, isn't it? I love to watch the Olympics. And you know, they focus a lot on the start, don't they? In fact, if they can be a false start, and they really have to watch that second start, because if they false start on the second one, they're totally out of the race. But a good start is essential, and that's why they're so anxious to get going. Sometimes they get a little too anxious. Same way with the swimmers, do the same thing. But what I want you to see is that a good start is essential, because if the start is off, then the chances are that a good race is going to be impossible. The race is going to go badly. But as important as a good start is, it's even more important to finish well. And Paul had lived his life. He had fought his light. He fought a good fight there with his life and run his race without shirking his duties and responsibilities. He could close his eyes. I don't think he had any problems sleeping, thinking, you know, did I do enough for the Lord? He could close his eyes in death with a sense of satisfaction at a job well done. He didn't take any shortcuts. He was not stopped by the obstacles that he faced, and boy, did he face the obstacles. Many of the obstacles that he faced, just one would be enough to make most folks just quit on the Lord. But he faced them, and he continued on. And instead of circumventing mountains, he climbed them. He weathered the storms that he faced. And Paul faced his departure from this life with confidence, because he not only started well, but he continued. You know, it's good. It's nice to get a good start, but we need to stick by the stuff, don't we? Continue. And remember the message we preached there in 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 14, where Paul told Timothy how important it was to continue. He said, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Well, Paul was an example of one who continued. And we are to continue. I mean, he ran his race and he finished his race. And we too can be confident at our departure if we continue. So often there are folks who spend their last day saying, you know, I wish I had, and you fill in the blank. I wish I had. Perhaps they wish they had been a better spouse, been a better parent, been a better neighbor, been a better friend, or been a better church member. Instead of making a better living, they maybe should have made a better life. Let me ask, what are you doing now to make sure that you finish your course? What course has God laid out for you to run? Are you in the race or sitting on the sidelines? Are you fighting the good fight of faith, or are you just a spectator? Are you pressing on, or have you given up? In verse number 8, Paul turns from the reasons for his confidence and his departure to tell us about some things regarding his arrival. He says in verse 8, and he was confident about this. He says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Now, if we said something like that, people say, you know, boy, you're kind of a braggart, aren't you? Well, Paul wasn't bragging. I mean, it was just the way it was. He said, "Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but also to all them that love his appearing." And that was a call for Timothy. Again, this letter was written to Timothy, and it called for Timothy to be assured of what was ahead, and that there is a reason to go on, a reason to continue in the struggle. When we head off on a trip, whether we're heading home by plane or whether we're headed home by car, you know, the goal is getting back home, yeah? And we make sure to get on the plane. You know, we try to arrive at, make sure that we get there at the airport on time, plenty of time to get checked in, get to the gate, and make sure that we can get on the plane. Because if you don't get on the plane, you're not going to arrive back home. We endure the flight. You know, it's not the best thing to do, especially these days and times. You know, when you're told that they're going to leave the middle seat empty for you in the COVID environment, and then they tell you right the day before you're going to fly that, sorry, you're not going to have that middle seat open. We've got a full flight. You could change flights, but there's no flights to change to. You know, when they tell you stuff like that, that's not good, is it? And so it's not a favorite thing to do, flying, but driving's even worse when you're out on that road and when you get our age, you got to stop about every hour. Just to keep them getting stove up, you know. You got to get them stretched the legs. But, you know, there's the anticipation of getting where you're going. And often the reason for the excitement associated with the trip is not the trip itself, but because of who or what is waiting for us on our arrival. If we're headed to see the grandkids, we have that to look forward to, and it makes us press on with the trip. And the same thing is true of the believer. Listen, we face our departure from this life with excitement, not because the departure is exciting, but because of what is waiting for us on our arrival, the Lord Jesus Christ. Traveling itself is not the most enjoyable thing in the world. As we travel through this life, we are wanderers, aren't we? we're not home yet. But even though traveling is not always pleasant, we don't mind it, and we endure the hardships of traveling because ultimately it brings us to the destination that we're looking forward to. Now, when the time comes for our departure from this life, it may not be a delightful experience. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I just prefer to just die in my sleep, you know, quietly in my sleep. But it's not always the way it's going to happen, is it? You know, we don't get to choose, do we? When the time comes, it may not be delightful. It may include a hospital or nursing home stay. It might include an illness or incapacitation. It might even include some pain. But listen, what's waiting on the other side for us will be worth it all. There's a song my wife and I sang a few weeks back that speaks to that. It's entitled, When We See Christ. It talks about some of the difficulties that we face in living life in this world. But the chorus of the song says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And it will be. So, How ready are you for your departure? Are you ready? Do you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? That's the most important thing. And if not, come to know Jesus tonight. And if you are saved, are you living for Jesus, a life that is true? Striving to please Him in all that you do. That's what the Lord's looking for. Listen, the judgment seat of Christ is ahead. We're all going to face it. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready? I think we could be out of here soon. And it behooves each of us as believers to make sure that we're ready. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father,